Every business wants good customer reviews. Every customer wants a good experience. So what happens when both sides click? Or in some cases, when they don't? From Yelp and Entrepreneur Media, this is Behind the Review. Emily Washkovic, Yelp small business expert. Every week, I pick one review on Yelp and talk to the entrepreneur and the reviewer about the story and business lessons behind it. This week, we dive into the story of The Cell, an immersive New York City theater and nonprofit collective with a mission to mind the mind, pierce the heart, and awaken the soul through the incubation of new artists' work. Let's see what's behind this week's review.
And we walked up one flight of stairs. It was like going into a secret garden, a very adult, very quirky nightclub secret garden, in a sense. We're going up these like rickety old stairs, and then we see this door with literally glowing colors coming from the entranceway, like hot pink, purple. What? And it just felt so surreal, like Alice in Wonderland. There was just meticulous, thoughtful, interesting moments of surprise and delight. And it all centered around Southern Creole voodoo feeling art. I believe the music shifted as well, depending on what side of the room you were on. It was a whole experience. It was just so out of this world, like literally, it was just so artsy, so cool, so fun. They even had a tarot experience. And it was just so normal for New York City, having a weird, artsy, impromptu experience. And it just filled my heart with joy to be able to experience the arts during the pandemic.
That's Kate, our reviewer who lives in New York City. When she was looking for a fun and safe activity to celebrate her friend's birthday, she was surprised to stumble upon an in-person event at Nancy Mancinarian's The Cell Theater that was featuring a socially distanced, immersive art show called The Garden of Eden. This art show features scenes of midnight in the garden of good and evil. A creative person at heart, Kate instantly knew she wanted to bring her friend there and fell in love with the experience at The Cell. Let's hear Kate's review.
I never knew how much I missed the physicality of art until I came here during COVID. They have done such a great job creating a safe space and ensuring people are healthy and respectful. They even clean their pens between visitors. I'd never been to this theater before, but it was a really magical experience, literally. New Orleans voodoo style. I recently read the book In the Garden of Good and Evil. I think that's the name. And that book gave me a whole new appreciation for this inventive tarot art experience. Garden of Eden is an immersive art experience with a dab of museum, a dollop of that really cool, crazy aunt grandmother's house, a spoonful of voodoo, a sprinkle of theater, a dash of fortune telling, and a splash of otherworld Halloween creepies. While the price tag may seem hefty, remember, you are supporting a wide variety of professionals and keeping alive theater during the economic crush of COVID. Please keep in mind, this space is not optimized for people with mobility needs. There are stairs and narrow passages. Also, this space is not a good fit for children. It's really meant to be for people who are comfortable, carefully maneuvering around tight spots and being gentle with their surroundings.
Kate's description of the immersive art experience truly sounds magical. And also unique. It wasn't just the beauty of the art and the displays, but the way it was brought together with the pandemic in mind. The Cell was able to take creativity and art to a whole new level. Here's Kira, artistic director and co-founder of The Cell Theater, sharing how the place came to be.
I was coming out of graduate school in directing theater and directing opera. Nancy Mancinarian wrote the libretto to an opera called Dinner and Delusion by Michael Saul, produced by the Center for Contemporary Opera. I was hired to direct it, and it went well. We bonded through doing this opera together and realized we had this kind of soulmate artists, Artner, they call it now. I heard from Jonah Artner. I like that relationship. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do with my career because I wanted to have a family and I wanted to be a theater director, and the two felt very incompatible to me. I'd always worked in the nonprofit sector. So when Nancy asked me if I wanted to help her start a theater, I jumped at the opportunity. I loved her. It felt meant to be. She is the facilitator of coincidence, as she calls herself. We started producing together. We applied for a nonprofit, which was granted in 2006. We were producing plays, which was nice, and new plays, but it felt like we wanted to be more in the thick of development of arts that were not easy to categorize, that were interdisciplinary, that were really unique and not built to be marketed. Nancy had a space in Chelsea, which is the Cell, where the tenants who were, it was a photography gallery, broke their lease. And we basically decided to focus our energies and efforts into the development of new work. In any discipline of art, in any combination, really a-categorical, which was difficult because it's hard to brand things without a category or an identity. And things were getting more and more commercial in the theater world and in the art world. And it wasn't the theater that we'd fallen in love with and the experimentation that we'd grown up in or what we'd associated with New York with. We knew that some of that stuff was being done in Brooklyn with younger people, but this was who we are. And we said, let's just do it. If it works, and if it doesn't, it worked, because we are loving this and we're loving giving these opportunities to artists who are like us, who don't fit neatly in any categories, but who are really devoted to digging for truths that feel like they push culture forward. We just started doing it and it grew slowly. We always say smaller is better. Because we were able to have staying power. And that's essentially the story of how the Cell came about.
With their shared passion for art, Kira and Nancy created an avenue for artists to go outside the box and invite audiences to immerse themselves in limitless creativity at the Cell. Kate was so impressed by the surreal atmosphere, interactive elements, and the combination of museum and fortune-telling experience that the installation had to offer. Let's hear Jonah, the Cell's associate producer, talk about how the Garden of Eden installation, a hypnotic and meditative experience, came to be.
Garden of Eden was something that I wanted to give people that emotional, intentional, intimate space within the theme of the tarot. A lot of the installation was really focused on self-guided experience. I was not there to tell them what they would find, how they would find it, what they're supposed to feel, but I would tell them that it's designed for intentionality, for asking yourself a question. Some people could have a hard time up there, but that's the time that they're supposed to have, maybe. They're supposed to have a hard time asking themselves a question and being with themselves and sitting down and thinking about these questions, because maybe that's not what they wanted to have. I would explain there's a dark side and a light side. On your left is the dark side. On your right is the light. Your tarot reading will take place in the light side, so I recommend starting in the dark side. And there are questions that were intended to draw introspection, which you are encouraged to ask to yourself, ask to your partner aloud, write down anonymously, and post it as dozens of people had. So by the end of the installation, we had dozens and dozens of these little white pieces of paper, people answering questions about their fears, their hopes, a piece of advice.
Because of the self-guided and highly immersive nature of the installation, paired with a need to maintain social distancing, the Cell's crew realized early on that they needed to make sure they were able to accompany their audiences and navigate them at the beginning. Let's hear how the team was able to successfully lock down a seamless self-led art experience that incorporates safety protocols.
People wander up and it's a little confusing because you go up one set of stairs and to your right is the person and to your left is another set of stairs. It's a little jarring because there's AstroTurf when you walk in as well. So there's very well trained to say, watch your step, please. And then check them in. I say, are you here for Garden of Eden? So they know they're in the right place. They don't know where the hell they are. They know that they came to the Cell. But a lot of people, we got written up in the New York Times, and a lot of people saw that and said, oh, I'll buy tickets for this. I have no idea what it is. And so we had a lot of those folks, had no idea what they were stepping into. We each had our own different spiel about what they would find, about how long it lasted, about half an hour in, you'll hear a tone that means that your tarot reader is calling in on the iPad in the light half of the room, and letting them know that to keep their masks on at all times, and that when they're done with their tarot reading, they can come on down so I can sanitize the space for the next guest.
The virtual tarot reading was an impromptu element that Kate loved about the whole experience. Something so New York, as she described it. Because of the pandemic, the Cell wasn't able to deliver this fortune teller component in person, but they designed a virtual alternative for the audiences instead. With limited staff, that came with its own challenges. Let's hear how Jonah addressed those hiccups.
The pandemic brought a lot of tech issues to people in the entertainment industry and pretty much every industry. Wi-Fi connection, Zoom capability, multi-channel audio design all brought around the ugly head of the fact that people didn't know when their tarot reading was beginning. So I had Lexi, our chief tarot reader. We had a few different tarot readers. Lexi would call me at the tarot reading began at 1:30 every time. She would call me at 8:31, 9:31, 10:31. They're not answering, Joe. And I'd be like, okay, hold on. And I please call again. And I'd go up and I would see if they were in the other part of the installation, because it's a whole townhouse that we're in. So people can be at the far end of the installation with this beating heart in the aspect, the 6 foot tall heart with a rib cage around it, with this literal beating sound effect, and not hear it ring on the other side of the room. Or they were sitting there waiting for it and it wasn't signed in, or the Wi-Fi was being janky or something. I would just toggle it on and off, or just make sure that it was plugged in and physically answer the call for them and just make sure that everybody was connected. That happened, unfortunately, a few too many times. Because of technical issues that I experienced, as well as every other gallery sitter that we had, they would get nervous about the people going through something that was really janky and messed up. I would always say, when they come down, see how they're feeling and offer them a pizza rat patch or a tarot card or something. Offer them a refund if it was really janky and really messed up. And really, we gave people extraordinary opportunity to get out of their house and just do something and be in a different space and be in a different headspace and be with their friends and loved ones. So even though there was a little bit of tech issues, and everybody knows how tech issues just appear everywhere you look, they still really appreciated the experience.
Let's take a quick break. Hey there, listeners. I'm currently in the process of purchasing my first home, and it's really got me thinking about how I don't want to leave my partner with a huge financial burden if something were to ever happen to me. On that note, it makes sense why people get life insurance, especially term coverage, which is surprisingly affordable. Why not pay a bit each month to protect the ones you love? If you're asking yourself this question, choose Ladder. Ladder makes it impressively fast and easy to get covered. You just need a few minutes and a phone or laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithm works in real time, so you'll find out instantly if you're approved. There's no hidden fees and you can cancel at any time. And since life insurance costs more as you age, now's the time to cross it off your list. So check out Ladder today to see if you're instantly approved. Go to ladderlife.com/BTR. That's LADDERLIFE.com/BTR.
Somehow years ago, I got added to this like email list that goes out on Saturdays, and it aggregates really cool, fun stuff happening in New York City, really about in-person events. And then they try to transition to virtual. So when the Cell Theater showed up as having an in-person event, I was like, what?
The Cell Theater uses multiple channels to spread the word about their current installations and experiences. Like Kate, many people find out about the current show through local newsletters or features in publications. In addition to getting mentioned on lists and in various places, the Cell Theater also has its own lists of contacts that they promote to.
I'm really proud of our newsletter and the consistency of it once a week. Also, we're just starting on something new, or we're introducing people to who we are, what we are, before we just throw them into the newsletter. They bought a ticket. We say, hi, we're the Cell Theater. This is what we've done. This is what we're doing now. This is what's coming up. Show them an image of the building. I cannot tell you how many times, especially in recent weeks, someone said, I walk by that place all the time and I always wondered what was going on there. That was me. I worked as a tour guide before I got into the arts full-fledged, and I would walk to the High Line Park and walk past this building with the Falling Man sculpture coming out of it. And I'd be like, I think that's a gallery, when tourists asked me what it was. The image of the building, we're talking a lot about what our building looks like, how we can convey more information on the front of it, because I've worked at a lot of spaces and participated in a lot of stuff that's location independent and branches off and has partnerships in other spaces. The cell exists within this building. The cell is not location independent. We struggled a lot. We had a lot of successes with online programming, but we struggled a lot with it too, because so much was lost in translation from the heart and the soul of what this space is. And I got to tell you, 14 months cleaning this space up and down, getting rid of furniture, getting rid of trash, fixing stuff, getting things together. It's a really, really special space.
Accurately representing who you are as a business and what you do is important. And for brick and mortar businesses, you want to make sure your physical space reflects that message as well. Additionally, utilizing channels like email newsletters is a great way to increase visibility and convey the essence of who you are. So much of the experience at the Garden of Eden was visual, and that was something that Kate loved and wanted to capture in her review. That's why she decided to include photos as she shared her experience on Yelp.
I think consumer photos, or consumer, like Yelp reviewers like me, are really essential in providing that authenticity. A business owner wants their stuff to look good, and they are going to curate their presentation as they should. But a person that walks in that's a client is going to actually show what that space looks like when it's not at its best. And that's really important to me. And then likewise, if it's an experiential event, such as this theatrical event, having been a professional creative, I really wanted to toe the line of not giving away all of the good stuff, but enticing people to come and support this business.
As for Kira, who's been receiving feedback on her artistic work for a long time, she understands the driving force behind reviews and how to incorporate them into the business.
For me, I've been trained to read reviews on my own work originally. And I was taught, if you want to read the good reviews, you got to read the bad reviews. You can't just read some reviews. And also that any publicity is good publicity. You just want to have publicity. But it's shifted dramatically in the last decade. Everybody has had to shift. I was very resistant to the new way of doing things, feeling like anybody was empowered to say anything and there was no curation of it. At the same time, I read Yelp reviews all the time to figure out where I want to go. And all other kinds of reviews. So I eventually came around giving into it and understanding that it's just the way that things are now and how to be creative in engaging with it. I think actively in the process of that now. There have been bad reviews I've been grateful for and have taken notes from. There have been good reviews that have been meaningless to me. Obviously, there have been good reviews that have made me say, thank God you care and are watching and looking, and bad reviews that have hurt. But it's the level of engagement.
As a business in the art scene, it's important to recognize that audiences come in with their own biases and that everyone has a different perception of the work. At the same time, The Cell hopes to bring people together through inclusive experiences where anyone can enjoy the art.
It's really important to know who your audience is. It's the paramount thing. And to know if you're going to enjoy a piece of art, to know if the artist made this with someone like you in mind, or a broad enough range where you can be included. Inclusiveness is a really important thing, I think, to discuss in terms of art, especially right now. One thing that I love about what we're doing here is where there's an inclusivity element for a lot of the things that we are doing. For example, there's a culinary artist in residence who wants to combine the worlds of art, food, science, philosophy, history. And so his journey, his purpose is to get a diverse audience to enjoy all of these elements together and create a dialogue together in bond over food. That's something that really is for everyone.
To close us out, let's hear Kira talk about The Cell's dedication to finding ways to persevere through hardships and to bring the arts to people and support creativity in artists at the same time.
Streaming for accessibility is true to people in different countries, to people who are homebound, to have the aspect and element of streaming worked out is enormous. Even with the tarot readers in Garden of Eden, they would have been live, but there's something to be said for the way that it was done remotely. It was pretty magical. My major goal, though, to tell the truth with continuing the place operating, which Nancy made possible, is that artists get very depressed not making art. And I get very depressed not making art. So that's what we do. We had to figure out how to do it. And any limitation that forces creativity is healthy for artists.
And that concludes our episode. Be sure to subscribe so you get new episodes every Thursday. I hope you enjoyed it and were able to take a thing or two away to implement in your own life, whether it's a new idea that you can bring back to your business or a fresh perspective on how to be a positive influence as a consumer. We share these stories to inspire and create more meaningful connections in your local community. For more information about today's business or to connect with me, check out the show notes. Today's show featured conversations with Kira and Jonah of the Cell Theater and Kate H., a Yelp elite in New York City. Special thanks to Vise Wong, who helped write this episode. To learn more, check out the episode blog post. And don't forget to subscribe so you get an alert each Thursday when a new episode comes out. To claim your own Yelp business page and start engaging with consumers, visit business.yelp.com. Starting this month, we have a special offer for our listeners who are interested in trying Yelp advertising. Use code BTRPOD300 to get started today. That's BTRPOD300 to get started today. And a $300 upfront credit will be applied instantly. Charges apply once credit is used, cannot be combined with other offers. Any unused credit expires 90 days from date of acceptance. Eligible businesses only, subject to Yelp's master advertising terms. This offer expires at the end of 2021. Our theme song is performed by Ali Schwartz and produced by Robbie G of Messerl Sound. The show was produced and edited by Entrepreneur Media.